Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 576. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. This fall is pouring in, sort of. Still friggin' hot in Los Angeles, but wherever you are, I hope you're enjoying seasons, which is a concept that LA basically said, fuck you, we don't need you. I don't mind, though. I travel a lot, so I do get to see my share of seasons. But there are many Los Angelinos who are deprived. Won't you give to help Los Angelinos experience seasons? I don't really know what the purpose of that public service announcement would be. We're going to build a giant weather ray to create fall? Oh, don't worry. The damaged environment will give us seasons sooner or later in Los Angeles. Hostful, I told you, this shit's going to start rolling out more often, guys. We're doing it. Hostfuls are coming. They are barreling down upon ye like the giant rock ball that chased Indiana Jones out of that fucking temple after Alfred Molina totally fucked him over. Uncool move, bro. Uncool move. Here's a Nerdist Podcast with me and the Sister Wives talking about stuff and things in the Nerdist Podcast number 576.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Oh, you missed it. I just turned off a Dave Matthews song.
Ah, yeah. Dead hit.
Were you listening to DM?
DMB, which is, did I make that reference to you when you were talking about Red Rock?
What?
I was like, when you told me you're like, yeah, I was on stage when the sun was going down. I was like, just like DMB, and I was going to say like 98 or something, I don't know.
It was 97. That was the first live album I did.
Oh, so close. So close without even trying.
It was May of 97. That was their first live release, live at Red Rocks.
Welcome to Dave Matthews Band, Sarcastic Truths. Anything you say sarcastically about Dave Matthews Band is probably true.
If you guys keep insulting him, you'll never come on the podcast.
No, here's the thing. I think he's hilarious in, what's the movie he was in? Don't Mess with the Zohan?
Yeah, sure, he's in that one.
He's hilarious in that. And what else is he in?
He's in the one with Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler at the In the Island situation.
Okay, I didn't see that.
I didn't see that one, but I hear he's very good.
I don't feel like I really have that much against Dave Matthews.
I don't either.
I do think a 4-hour jam session concert's irritating, but that's just my I have no patience for that.
Here's the thing with the Dave Matthews Band, everyone listening, and you two assholes.
You mean us, or are you talking about Bono?
I was talking about Katie and Kyle.
Oh, okay. I don't know why that got Jonas so much.
I don't know.
That's stupid as fun.
Yeah.
So when Dave Matthews plays, when the Dave Matthews Band plays for 4 hours, it's not what you're what happens in a lot of Fish shows or Grateful Dead shows where it's like 9 songs.
Okay.
It's like 22 songs.
They have a lot more songs.
Yeah, they play.
They don't
a lot
jam
of songs.
Out stuff.
They do have extended jams on some songs, but some of them are tight, and it's just like I would say the most fun Dave Matthews concert I've been to in like 10 years.
The one the
it
other
was great. The other one
day.
I went to.
What
on
was
Saturday.
That? What was that Mr. Show when they were doing the bit about like it's like I'm just pretty messed up. It was Dave Gruber Allen's like I'm pretty messed up about the Dead, breaking up. They're like my friends. It's like, oh yeah, no, I get it. My friends would make me pay $80 to see them dick around on the guitar.
Yeah, it was a pretty incredible weekend, this Oddball tour.
Yeah, I mean, that Dave Matthews show was amazing. Chris probably would have loved it if he was there.
I know, but we did Seattle. Well, actually, Auburn, Washington, and then Salt Lake, and then Red Rocks in Denver, which was fucking crazy.
Do you have time to, like, when you get in, is it like straight to the gig, do the gig?
No, and then he checks in, he masturbates, then he goes to the gig.
Well, and then
check in, rub out, am I right?
At the airport. Yeah. Well, let's see. Saturday at Salt Lake, went straight from the airport to the show.
Yeah.
But in general, you're leaving around noon, and then you have a couple hours to rest before you have to get to the show, and then you get up and travel.
Because I just know you love Denver a lot.
I do, and so I did get to spend a little bit of time there, not much, and I was resting because I was really tired, so I didn't get to. I walked down to Larimer Square, which I love. There was a Fossil and Gem convention going on at the
Jesus,
and I didn't get to go to it.
Wow,
I know. But
throwing some bugs, you're having a good time.
Yeah,
they might have some.
There's a chili cook on. Yeah, it's going right
chili
now.
Cook on. It's right now. I want to go to the chili cook on.
But it was really fun. And these cities have good audiences. They fucking show up on time. Utah especially, like Salt Lake people. Yeah. Punctual.
Yeah.
Well, they got to get home before curfew.
No.
What are they going to stay out late for? I'm not going to drink.
Yeah. I mean, there's no point in living. Can't feel alive.
But how is it? Like, these are huge venues. Is it?
Yeah.
What's the differences like doing?
You know what I've noticed is that
you have to fuck a stool bigger.
I don't fuck a stool on stage.
It's an Eames replica.
I've not fucked a stool on stage, nor have I used the microphone as a dick.
Oh.
But get
with the times, bro.
I'll tell you what I realized. I realized that my stand-up needs work, truthfully. Mm-hmm. I told you this the other day. That's why I brought it up
like we were on Comics Unleashed.
Jonah, I heard you once party with Lars Ulrich.
Oh, boy. Oh, here we go. Oh, man.
Chris, I hear your father died recently.
Well, that's weird, man, because I heard you worked at a funeral home.
Guys, let's just fucking do this podcast.
Yeah. Let's all do the fake setups. No, it actually has made me realize... Yeah, it made me realize that... Because playing to... when you're playing in a club... It's more intimate, and I think the audience, you can coast a little more on energy in an intimate environment because you're all right there and you're kind of wrapped up in it, so you can tell longer stories, but because you're all right there, it can kind of coast through the bits, if that makes any sense. But when you're playing to 10,000 people, you start to notice where all the holes are.
Yeah.
And so what I realize is that a lot of the stuff that I've been working on lately, there's just a lot of holes in it.
Do you feel like this is going to make you a better comic?
Yeah. Well, if I do the work that I'm supposed to do, it's actually, I think it's good to realize like, oh, wait, I need to go back to the, I don't think it's a teardown, but it's definitely.
Go back and start filling it in more.
Filling it in more and figuring out like where the beats are and really thinking about it.
Yeah, you'll probably end up writing like more jokes too.
Do you think you might, when you're done with the Oddball tour, start doing beta again at the...
Yeah, I'll definitely start doing beta tests again, but I think I might also start going to places like the Comedy Store if they'll let me, because...
I think you still have to like do the process. Not the open mic, but like you still have to get past.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm totally happy to do. I don't mind. But I think... I think it's good because, you know, at Meltdown, we have a very forgiving safety net of basically performing for like-minded people.
Yeah, for sure.
But to, you know, to just sort of go back and like and and be a real comic again where it's like you got to earn the jokes again.
Yeah.
I think it's a real good way to go. But also just watching, you know, watching Burr and Attell and Louis and Hannibal and people like that on the – it's very inspiring to like, oh, that's what I need to be doing. But I just get so busy with work, with other work, that I haven't been devoting the time to stand up that I really should be devoting.
Well, they're out. Just figure out what it is you want to do in life.
I want to do all of the things.
Yeah, but you're like, I mean, those guys are doing, you know, handful of shows a night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're in New York, Chris, and they can just run around
New York. Everybody.
Yeah,
the Nerdist is moving to New York.
Road trip.
Why won't we just fly?
Oh,
I don't know. There's
air trip.
More time to riff in cars when we're on our way there.
No, 5 hours is a good time. Good amount of time.
I'm going to nap.
5 hours is a good amount of time.
Yeah. I've been really. It's really exciting. I mean, it's not. It's not like the show's been going badly for me. I just feel that's
not what Tittyfucker83 says on Twitter.
He hates me.
Tittyfucker83. Funny that the guy obsessed with tits and born in the year 1983.
Wait a minute.
Matt, gotta go. Where's the eject button? Hang on, Jonah. This is a hypothesis I can get behind.
Well, wait a minute. Who's Poi Prick 82?
Hey!
Poi Prick is your name.
Poi Prick. That's because I can't get it up. It has the same consistency.
Poi Prick. I changed it. My go-to year was 97 on that joke, and I changed it to 83, and you guys found me out.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
We've exposed yet another of the internet's trolls.
Gotta go!
But it... It actually has been really, it's been really exciting to sort of, because I love the process of it so much that I don't mind. I mean, and like I said, the shows have been going fine, but I know that they could be better, and I feel like they could, you know, like the stand up should be tighter.
It's also, you know, you're doing a lot less time than you're used to doing.
15 minutes.
Yeah,
which is
what you're doing.
Yeah, wow. That's what we're all doing, except for Aziz and Louis, and you know, depending on if Burr is on the show,
this
like they
show
rotate.
Just became a lot more fun sounding to me. What? I imagine everybody's trudging out there doing 35.
No,
45.
No.
That's what I think. What makes it appealing?
So the way that it works is that Jeff Ross will come out and do 10 ish. Then there are
whether or not he's been asked to.
There are four. There are four comics. Everyone does 15. Hannibal maybe does 20. Then there's a 20-minute intermission. And then in the next set, it's whoever is in that top spot on the next set will do like 15 or 20. And then it's been like Sarah, Aziz, Louis, or Attell, Burr, Louis.
Yeah.
And then they all do like 20, 25. And then Louis will do 30 plus, depending on how he feels.
Yeah. You know?
So it's
funny,
it's a good sampling.
Yeah. When I first heard about the way you know, like all the amount of people on the thing, and I was like, that's a long show. But seeing as how it's kind of almost just like a music festival where it's like, it's, you know, truncated sets, that sounds a lot more appealing.
It is, but there's also a second stage that I think starts at like 5 or 6 or something in Brody.
Oh, with Brody hosting it, that's right. But that's a local show,
and it's
right?
Local, it's a lot of local comics.
See,
so
that's great,
it's really cool.
Yeah,
but if you do get there at 5 o'clock when the gates open, it is a 6 hour total.
So you're just
endeavors.
Getting your money's worth.
You're definitely getting your money's worth. But it's really, I mean, you know, but Red Rocks, I mean, there's just nothing. All the venues have been really cool, but there's just nothing like Red Rocks.
Had you been there before a bunch, or
to see a show? Like, I'm, you know, when I was young.
Yeah. So it's been around
high
for a while
in Denver. Oh, the Beatles played there.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Like, yeah, U2 shot Sunday Bloody Sunday.
I know that.
Well, they didn't shoot. They were shooting the documentary there, and then they kind of captured that moment. But it's, you know, what's really cool is that they've kind of just etched the venue into the rock.
Yeah, like a natural amphitheater.
Yeah, so even in inside, where the catering is, it's like one wall is just a rock wall, because it's just cut
that's
in.
That's pretty cool.
And it's everything's like super kind of 70s looking, but in the best way.
Nice.
And there's just all these pictures of it. It's like, oh, U2, the Beatles, Elvis Costello, like... it's like the most, it's just fucking everyone.
Yeah.
And it's the thing that I like about the venue is that most amphitheater venues, you're up on a stage and you're just kind of shooting down at people. But Red Rocks, you're at the bottom and it's up.
Oh,
like
neat.
You're it just it goes up, so it just it feels a little bit better.
Yeah, I bet the laughs hit you kind of like a wall. Like what's the place we did in Chicago, the Vic?
Yeah,
where it's like it goes up so fast that you almost have this like wall of laughter hitting you when you're on stage.
It's really fun.
Yeah,
it's really real. But you also feel like you also kind of feel like a zoo animal because there's this gate this barrier that keeps that you know is between you and the audience.
Yeah,
and then you're in this natural rock setting, so you kind of feel like a puma. It's just like pacing back and forth on stage.
A puma.
So
that's cool,
but it's fun. It's been really amazing. But yeah, but Sunday I woke up in Salt Lake, flew to Denver, did the show, and then flew home to LA after that show, and then Cannon came back to At Midnight on Monday. So it was a little like most of the time when people are like, "Man, you really are busy." I'm like, "Ah, you know, it's I feel fine." But that was one where I'm like, "How the fuck am I standing?" Yeah. You know, because we did Seattle, Salt Lake, and then Denver.
Bill.
But what a fucking amazing experience!
That's rad.
So far. What was your weekend like?
You know, it was a weekend where we didn't really have many obligations, so it was a nice, relaxed weekend. On Saturday, we went to this place called, I think it's called Daichan. It's like a Japanese soul food place in Studio City. That's really great. And then I was like, let's go to Universal Studios. And then we went to Universal Studios, got front of the line passes. And then, like, right when we walked in, Waterworld was starting up.
Oh,
and there was this little girl,
no
like, pulling
way.
Her mom. Waterworld. And I was like, what the fuck you know about Waterworld?
Mm-hmm. She's been there.
And then that was the end of the trip. We got asked to leave. And... but no, it's a great show. And we were in this perfect spot that was close to the water, but you didn't get wet.
That was one of the things I loved about driving home from the Nerdist Burbank offices every day last summer was that ride usually coincided with seeing the flares going
off. Oh, yeah.
So you come down Olive and all you see is...
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Waterworld's happening.
It's an impressive show, the way that they, you know,
it's
throw
great.
That they throw that fucking plane. And also, I found it funny that they called it a seaplane. Aren't all planes going to be seaplanes in the Waterworld?
Whoa, Jonah.
That's my hypothesis theory.
So it's based on the movie Waterworld?
Yeah.
Yes. No, the graphic novel.
Well, it's just funny to me that they would base an attraction off a movie that tanked.
Yeah.
What
is that a pun?
Did you get that pun?
You did a really
good
job.
I didn't do that on purpose. Yeah. I mean, I did that on purpose.
It really put that company under water.
What?
Did it tank? I thought it did. Was a big movie.
No, it tanked.
No, it completely tanked. It was one of the... That was sort of the... between that and The Postman, you know, that was Kevin Costner coming off Dances with... I think that was coming off Dances with Wolves. Where
correct.
It was like, this guy can do no wrong. He's amazing. Yeah. He's an incredible actor. He's a leading man. He's a director.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he basically... He just sort of recreated these epic... He tried to recreate these epic types of movies again... And Waterworld, I think, was kind of a head scratcher for people, and it was the sort of the beginning of the.
And he also didn't he make Earp instead of Tombstone?
Earp instead of Tombstone,
Tombstone is
Tombstone
so fucking good.
Still
so
resonates
good.
In my
such
brain.
Such a good movie.
It's just that a guy like Johnny Ringo, we got a hole in him. No matter killing, stealing, can never feel it.
I love that movie.
I also like I like how Earp is like it's really for the upper crust of people when they want their westerns because doesn't it start on them on a yacht in the Northwest? They're just like on this nice fancy boat going along the coast of Washington.
It probably does. I haven't seen it in so long, but that sounds about right.
The Tombstone sticks around. You know, it's I wonder if when Val Kilmer showed up to set that first day, if they were like, "What are you doing?" And then it somehow it totally works.
I think
oh my
it's
God,
great.
It's great. He's so good.
He's really good.
Val Kilmer.
He's great. I did, you know, I've talked about on this before, but his I have the audio of Citizen Twain.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good. It's so good. So funny.
Oh,
that's
the Shania Twain one-man show?
No. It's Citizen Twain is a Mark Twain one-man
show. I know what
show.
It is. I was just making a stupid joke.
I don't know if it was that stupid to be believed.
We've talked enough about Citizen Twain.
We have talked enough about Citizen Twain.
More than... Val Kilmer has probably talked about Citizen Twain.
I just love it. I love it. I'm waiting for it to come back so I can go and see it in real life. I heard it's great.
Is it coming back?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure Jonah's Google News Alert
we gotta
will
get
let
that,
us all know.
We got to get that
What's
Val Kilmer
Google
on the...
Google News Alert?
Google? Google?
We got to get fucking Val Kilmer
We got to get that
here.
Val Kilmer Let's get Val Kilmer on here. Let's get Dave Matthews. Let's get Kevin Costner. Let's get Kyle.
Anderson?
Oh, I'm just kidding, man. Kyle Clark.
What else did I do this weekend? I watched the God Save the Girl, which is this movie that was crowdfunded. It's the movie that the singer from Belle and Sebastian made.
Uh-huh.
And I heard about this.
It's a musical that he wrote all the music for it and directed it and wrote it. It's the most twee fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
Hashtag twee as fuck.
I fucking loved it so much. And like, it's like, it's like, indeed didn't like it as much as I did, which is goes to further the point that I'm more of a girl than my wife. But it's just, it's so fucking cute and cool, and I liked it a lot.
A friend of mine said, let's go see this movie, Frank. And I'm like, what's Frank?
What is that movie? I saw the poster.
You have to watch the trailer. It looks fucking amazing. It's got like 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. But it's Michael Fassbender, and he basically has this... What looks like the equivalent of an Animal Crossing head, and he won't take it off. But he's a musician, and he's like, they start to get popular, and Maggie Gyllenhaal's in it. Yeah, there it is.
Oh yeah, yes, I've seen that picture.
But it looks amazing.
That's really cool. I want to see that.
It looks amazing. So I hope it's as good as it
nice
as it looks.
Nice.
But I never get to go out to movie theaters anymore.
It's good. I try to force myself to go sometimes, but it's just with, you know,
get in the car and hold a gun to your head.
Somebody help me. It's just like the scene in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. Which none of us are going to act out. Because of
help me. Help me.
Nobody moves or I think he's serious. They'll do it.
Yeah. When was the DMB show? Sunday?
Saturday night. Nice. I saw them. I saw Dave and Tim and Rashawn, who's the trumpet player. Tim Reynolds is his other guitar player, at the Stand Up to Cancer thing. I went on Thursday night. They did a pre-tape for that because Dave was playing in Chula Vista on Friday when the show was actually airing. Mm-hmm. So they did a pre-tape, and because we all showed up, Dave was like, I'll play some more for you guys. So he played five songs. It was great. Little mini concert. A lot of fun. And yeah. It was good. And then I just signed the lease on my new place today.
Hey, you're moving?
Yep, moving, getting a house.
You don't want to try to do a Dave Matthew third Myra girlfriend in that apartment?
Don't want to do that, Jonah. got a house and hilariously had to go get a cashier's check yesterday for a good amount of money. And had to be made out to Fame Investments.
Hey,
so nice. I had to walk up to a teller in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I get think a this giant really work cashier's out check yeah to Fame Investments.
Yeah. It's like, hey, buddy, I don't know if anyone's told you.
Mister, could you make it out to Fame Investments?
I'm
going to be a star.
I don't feel comfortable
getting this star
money.
He said I could get, this is for the first headshot, and then everything after that, I'm going to have to pay a little more, but I'll get it.
Is this, are you moving in with the...
Things are going nicely, and gonna have it's a lovely house.
Are you guys moving in there together?
Yard, yeah, backyard, front yard, whole nine, washer, dryer.
So you have 9 yards. He said the whole 9 yards.
The whole nine.
We got 9 yards.
Can we get 9 yards?
Are you speaking figuratively? No, we literally have nine.
No,
yards.
Actually,
yards,
we yeah signed the lease, and we get to use a copy of the whole nine yards on the DVD. The yeah Kevin Pollak, Matthew Perry, Amanda Peet opus.
I remember liking the whole 9 yards.
I enjoyed the whole 9 yards.
They did a sequel, right?
They sure did.
Whole 10 yards.
Right.
If you want to see Amanda Peet's boobs, just ask Tittyfucker83.
83! Matt Myra!
You can watch the whole 9 yards.
Great news.
Yeah, it's really a great place. You should see it. I look forward to entertaining over there.
Cool.
Yeah, it's going to have a nice backyard space.
How's your place going? You filling it up?
Yeah, there's some furniture being...
You filling up the hole in your heart with the place?
I'm trying.
Yeah. You still buying some... You buying some crazy shit for downstairs, or... you should just turn that into a museum, I'm realizing.
It's all... it's all furniture. Like, it's little bits of furniture are coming in waves.
Yeah.
It's like... And some stuff's getting made. So...
nice.
Getting made.
Yeah, I'm having a bed made, and I'm having a sofa made.
Sometimes you need those specs to your... specifications.
That's right. But I got some nice vintage rugs, which are very nice.
He's very excited about these vintage rugs. The second
They're
time
gorgeous
he's mentioned them to
I
me.
I love to see them.
Got a couple chunky Moroccan vintage rugs.
Got a couple of couches. Sleep on the love seat.
Got a couches.
What is a chunky Moroccan rug? What is that? Is it like a different...
Sorry. What's a Chucky Moroccan?
Well, you eat a bunch of spicy food, and then it's essentially a Cleveland steamer after that.
I pitched a game to At Midnight, and it's just too dirty to do on the show, so... It's called Urban Pictionary.
Oh shit.
Oh wow. So you would see an image and you would have to come up with the Urban Dictionary definition of what that would be. It was so dirty we couldn't do it.
Well, you should do it at midnight after dark.
That's what I've been pitching since the show started. If a show only aired late enough to be uncensored.
You got to wait another half an hour for that.
That's what do the HBO version.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when they did Candid Camera on the Playboy Channel. They basically just like all the talking mailboxes just turned into people with their tits out in public.
I loved that movie. That wasn't a movie. Titty Fucker 83. Guys, if you want to see an At Midnight uncensored special, write your congressman.
Please write your congressman.
Just write your congressman. Yeah.
Write or tweet your congressman.
Also, fuck this net neutrality thing. Go Congress.
I'm probably... boy, I'm so close to buying a cave bear skeleton.
I saw that.
I can almost taste the cave bear.
You can go in that...
What are
that
you,
nook.
Me?
You can go in the nook part.
I'm so close to buying a cave bear skeleton.
I am. It's a 10,000-year-old, 8.5-foot-high cave bear skeleton.
All I have to say right now is make sure you don't ask Nicolas Cage whether or not you should, because he'll say yes.
Well, I know, but I actually looked at dinosaur skeletons, but they're so many hundreds of thousands of dollars that it's not.
Yeah.
There's too many hundreds of thousands of
we're
dollars.
We're not there.
We'll get you there.
Where would you put that? So downstairs in that little nook
if
area?
If it would fit. You know, the downstairs room is just about 8.5 feet floor to ceiling. So it's – but upstairs the ceilings are vaulted. But I just don't know if it would be really weird to have it like right in the living room. But it's fucking stunning. Like it's
I
such
saw the
a,
picture. It looks incredible.
It's super, super, super cool. Although he's holding up the way that he's positioned, the bear's kind of holding up his arms like, okay, let's just talk about this. Like, it's like the last thing, whatever the last thing the bear, okay, don't shoot, 10,000 years ago. But
here's my check for Fame Investments. Now, listen.
But now I'm kind of obsessed with gomphotheres.
Yeah, I didn't research.
That?
You said that, but I didn't research what they were.
What is that?
Well, they're basically this... they became extinct a couple million years ago. I think they had a reign of about 10 million years, but they're sort of proto elephants. They're basically these ancient proboscideans. So they have like a trunk, but they also have this lower jaw that looks like a scoop so that they sort of look like Zoidberg elephants.
Whoa. Would anybody like a peanut?
That's great.
So it's a,
I'm an ancient elephant.
So, that's not quite a gomphotheer.
You're so dumb. Oh my god, you pulled the wrong prehistoric elephant creature. No, that's an elephant.
Sort of. Like if you can see from the side here, you can see like how like elephants have like a small lower jaw, like a small lip, but their lips come out really far, so they look like they look like these giant. Scoops. Yeah, that's a little closer to,
Okay,
that's
so...
That's a little bit closer.
Now, why are you obsessed with this?
I don't know. I just think they're amazing.
And what
do you... They kind of like these squid-faced...
Do you want like a... Can you afford that kind of skeleton?
I don't even know if there are any like fully intact...
Search eBay!
But it's not going to be any, but if there were, it would probably be million. It would be, yeah.
Why don't you just talk to one of these companies that builds the models for the history museums, like the Natural History Museum, and get a model. I'm sure that's got to be under 20,000.
I don't want a model. I want the actual thing.
Oh.
No, Daddy, I don't want all that.
Model. I want the actual thing. Get me the creature.
I actually emailed this. Natural History Museum in New York, and I was like, do you guys have any old skeletons lying around that you'd want to sell? And she just wrote back like, we don't sell our collections to the public. I'm like, okay, I know, it was a dumb question. But I really just, I want the house to feel like kind of
a warm museum. Like I love natural history museums.
Yeah, yeah.
So much.
But when was the last time we were at the LA one? Have you been to the remodeled LA Natural History Museum? It's great.
I haven't been in a few years.
It's fantastic.
Allie works there now, right?
Yeah, she volunteers on, I think, just weekends. But yeah, it's great.
Yeah, yeah. You know Allie Ward, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She collects bugs, too.
Duh. I got to figure out where to put all the buggies. Very excited.
Yeah.
So I think, some taxidermy, a couple of skeletons.
Taxidermy.
Some.
You should make a trophy room.
But I don't. I'm not a hunter.
Yeah, I know. But you can't. I'm not saying go kill more.
You know,
animals.
Rob Zombie has a polar bear. That's the polar bear from the original Addams Family set.
Oh no way!
And so it's not only a giant cool polar bear. It was a part of television history.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I can't get him to sell it to me though.
I think Dave Mandel owns the one from Lost.
Oh really?
From Lost. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Man. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's weird to go that route, but I don't know. I just love that vibe. I love that feeling.
Well, if you love it, embrace it.
Okay.
You know? My office is going to look like a guitar center when I'm done with it, so.
Just for lefties.
Three-bedroom.
Three-bedroom.
So guest room, master bedroom, my office.
Mm-hmm.
I get to do whatever I want to the office, provided I don't deal with the living room.
Oh, yeah?
Which just means no guitars in the living room.
So how are you going to fit all those guitars into one bedroom?
It'll fit in there.
Really?
It's got a nice big bay window, and I'm looking at storage options right now. I have a guy at the gym who's getting his master's in lines. If anyone can explain to me what that is, I'd appreciate it. But he's going to try and come up with some storage options for these guitars.
Cool.
I want to get a big humidor case with all glass and keep like my five really expensive vintage acoustics in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd like to do.
And anyway. Then go smoke cigars in there?
Inside the... These are real good. Those are not from a smoke-free home, but...
Is it weird if I turn the house into kind of a museum-looking thing? Like, if I bring a lady over, is she going to be like, are you a serial killer?
I think if it's the kind of lady you want to be fucking, then I think you're okay.
Yeah, if it's like a lady that's into
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Titty Fucker 83.
If it's no the problem.
Kind of lady you want to be fucking, son. I say get your taxidermy on.
Get into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because if it's a girl that's going to be weirded up by that, don't put it in her. You know what?
Don't put the taxidermy in her?
Don't,
why would
obviously
I do that?
Not, Chris.
Yeah.
But if she's into it, fuck her with that taxidermy squirrel.
Don't give her the bone. And by that, I mean the femur of a cave bear.
Hey. Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
Whoa.
What just happened? Are you going to go like bearskin rug situation? Because that's what I would do.
I don't think
I mean,
I
if I would really go for
rug.
It. Like, particularly in your log cabin room area,
log cabin
floor.
It's like a ski lodge, so.
Yeah.
But that would
be
great.
I think that's where it'd be fun to have like a realistic. I actually wanted to. I initially wanted to make it look like a sci-fi trophy room so that it would be like the skeleton of a predator and then like a bantha rug or something.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, like just like it, if you just kind of glance at it, it looks just like a
yeah, but
kind of.
But in actuality, they're all like from movie. Like it's all like
that's really cool.
Sci-fi, like a sci-fi trophy room. So nothing's real, but it yeah, still yeah. looks like a
like a skeleton room. Hand holding an old lightsaber.
Yeah, but then I thought, but then I just thought like. I don't know, because it seemed a little too, like, I don't know.
Whee!
It was almost like nerd twee. Do you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah. That was the noise I made.
Whee! Explain Whee! This. Is that where that comes from?
What?
The twee? Does it come from the noise?
No.
What does the term mean? Because I've seen the term. I've read it in context.
I'm not about to make any assumptions near you, Matt.
Katie, I'm just curious. I'm really just curious.
Is it twee because of like
it's
the kind of kids that did it wore twee jackets?
It's T-W-I-E, right?
No, T-W-E-E.
T-W-E-E.
Because they would wear twee jackets and they were very quaint and very...
rhymes with squee.
Hey, again, I support this hypothesis.
Hypothesis theory.
Urban Dictionary says something that is sweet almost to the point of being sickeningly so. Something that is affectionate.
We know what it means.
Dainty or quaint or way too sentimental.
Yeah, we're just trying to find the etymology.
Oh.
Well, Urban Dictionary is not going to give you the etymology.
Just put up twee, origin, twee, etymology.
Tweet.
There are some really good like book selections at Powell's on like etymology and like linguistics. There's a whole section on it. And
books on wax cylinder. There. Hashtag twee as fuck.
Twee.
It's from Dutch from the early 20th century, representing a child's pronunciation of sweet.
All right. You gotta go the opposite of the dictionary, people. That's what you gotta do.
That seems like so odd. I mean, it's probably true because you looked at it on your phone. But
it's probably.
Oh, you don't like things that are urban? God,
oh
you hear this guy?
Oh, my God. I can't believe he's doing this.
Whoa!
No! Guys, what's really great is my phone. I can put my manifesto on PDF. You can open it in iBooks.
I have my manifesto on Google Docs.
I can just bump it to you.
Yeah.
New iPhone, guys! New iPhone!
People have been waiting for our take on this thing.
Whoa. What are they going to say? Here, guys, here's the reel on how to feel.
Yeah. Thanks, Neve Schulman.
Yo, iPhone blowing up the trends on Twitter, yo.
Yep. I think I'll probably do the old 6 Plus, even though it
I'm gonna
feels
get the big old 6 Plus.
Serving tray of a phone to have in my pocket after having the...
I don't know. I might go 6 and then get the watch.
Whoa, Jonah.
I have a feeling the watch is like... That's a pretty cool $200 watch. I doubt it's going to be $200.
It's not.
It's $300.
$300? Was it? Ooh,
that's
$350.
Can't do it.
Here, I'll put this in perspective for you. I just went to get. I sent one of my other watches off to get serviced, and it's $710 for the service. So that's just to fix a watch. So $300 for a watch isn't that much money?
It's a lot of money for a guy who doesn't wear a watch.
Yes. Good point.
I don't think watch technology will ever really catch on. It never has. Like in the 80s, Sony was like,
No, it has. It tells time and I love it.
Yeah, just that. But I feel like the functionality is too, like it almost gives you more work, I think.
Well, the thing is, it's like imagine having all that stuff on there like right away instead of getting out of your like, you know, you get a buzz in your phone, look at your watch, see who's giving you a thing. The thing that Matt's wearing, the little fucking tracker thing, that's all in there as well. Mm-hmm. And you get the time. I think it's pretty practical in everyday use.
I guess I just don't like wearing watches.
That's the thing. I don't like wearing watches. I feel like my wrist just starts to immediately smell like shit right when I put something on it.
Are you putting you just have to stop fisting people.
Stainless.
What?
Yeah.
Well, how do you get the fucking thing on your hand?
I love the idea that...
With one hand, you hold it up to the anus and then
gingerly
the
place.
Yeah. Well, an asshole is just a watch guide. Yeah. It just gets it on. It's like a watch caddy.
One of the jokes I wrote for you yesterday, we did this bar mitzvah game where bar mitzvah DJs on at midnight. And one of the jokes I wrote for this guy, this older guy with a mustache and frosted tips, and he had his hands out like this. I wrote, one in the pink, nine in the stink.
That's pretty fucking great.
Why would you go stink over pink? I don't understand.
Why would you?
It's like all nine in here. That's great.
This is great.
It's great.
This is fucking great.
Anyone want to hear Village People?
But I think, you know, I don't know. The watch, I feel like, is the thing that I might try for a little while. It's going to be weird. I feel like I might end up double watching.
No.
Can't it's do that,
an,
right? That, can't
that's
do
an
that.
Expensive experiment.
Yeah.
It's an expensive experiment. But, you know.
So was my sex trip to Thailand. Sit down. I'll tell you a story. This is Titty Fucker 83 here.
Oh, no.
My travel reviews. What a weird pervert that just does travel reviews of sex trips.
Yeah. Tits of the world.
Have you seen his Yelp reviews? I mean, yeah, the name is ridiculous, but fucking A, if he isn't right every time.
Titty Fucker 83 and Pussy Talking Jonah go on the road.
Oh shit. If we still had a TV show.
That's a beautiful ancient village.
Yo, you take the top floor, I'll take the basement.
I'm always up top.
I think I really think I need a couple days off.
Coming up on that weekend, Chris. You got that weekend coming up.
When do you?
Sunday is my first day off in a month.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask when Talking Dead starts. When does that start?
October 12th.
Oh, great. You got a couple weekends coming up.
I have a couple weekends coming
up.
Then going to heading out to New York, doing some stuff at New York Comic Con.
Then
heading back for Talking Dead on the 12th.
You head back for 2 weeks. And then we go back.
A week from Sunday, I'm going out to Austin for Fantastic Fest.
Oh, that should be super fun.
I can't wait to see a bunch of movies. And then I go back to Austin in November for Fun Fest.
Oh, Fun is great.
Yeah, very much looking forward to it.
That's a good one. That one in Waterloo Park?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. No, it's a good lineup this year, too.
Of Austin's Judas Priest. Festival Rich Culture. Really?
Yeah. Nas doing Illmatic in its entirety. There's a fucking bunch of great stuff going on.
That's cool. Whose phone's going up?
It's Joel.
What are you working on these days?
What if your 10-year-old self just saw you do that?
I know. I think about that every time I ignore one of his calls. What have I been doing? I've been writing a bunch. I've been kind of in the process of waiting to hear back.
What was that, Joel Hodgson calling you?
Yeah.
you just hit ignore on your fucking idol.
We're doing a podcast, though.
I'm busy. Something.
I'm busy.
Yeah. Sorry, Joel. You're going to have to wait. I've been writing a bunch with Sean O'Connor, and then also getting together a special for Comedy Central. And then also waiting to hear back from a place about a TV show I pitched that they want.
By the way, when Joel calls, you should have the ringtone be, "We've got movie sign!"
I'm sure that's a ringtone you can get somewhere.
Gotta be.
I'm also setting up the getting ready to announce the record label I'm starting.
Which is going to be awesome.
Yeah, which is going to be pretty cool.
When is that going to happen?
I'm fucking waiting for the... it's going to be in conjunction with AST Records. So it's going to be called Literally Figurative Records.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to be doing a bunch of kind of limited release stuff with... I'm going to be doing a split 7-inch series called The Mutual Appreciation Society.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a band on one side with a song and then a comic that they're friends with on the other side.
That's a great idea.
Thanks. I already got some really good ones lined up. I'm going to have one with Matt and Jenny Owen Youngs.
Yep. It's going to be fucking awesome.
I'm going to be doing one with Alex Hooper and Fart Barf. I'm going to be doing one with... me and Michael Cronin.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna be doing one with Will Wheaton and Nerf Herder.
Nice.
Yeah, that one I'll probably make a bit more than the others. I'll press a bit more.
Yeah, you might want to print more than 50.
Yeah. No, these will mostly all be limited 500 pressings. And then I'm also going to be putting
out a spectacular idea.
I know.
Thanks.
That's really cool.
That's what I said to
him. Yeah. And then I was going to ask you if you wanted to do one with your split with Mike Furman.
Oh,
so but I don't know. The thing is, I don't know if you have any short bits that you want to throw away.
How long?
It's you have max 7 minutes on a 33 speed.
7 minutes. I could probably come up with seven. I could probably come up with seven
even,
minutes.
I'm sure you can even come up with like a bit or a chunk, like a thing.
Yeah.
That to present, and then I want to have a song from. I still haven't asked yet though, but yeah, there's going to be, I got some other ones. Happening as well, which should be pretty exciting. And then I'm also going to be putting out I'm going to put out Nick Youssef's most recent album on vinyl.
Great.
Just limited to run stuff. And it's
a great.
I got to a point where I was very tired of going. Wouldn't it be cool if or somebody should?
Right.
And I kept on saying that about this stuff, and I figured I might as well do it myself.
Somebody should kill these terrorists.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if somebody killed these terrorists?
And that's the last time we ever saw Jonah.
So I've been working on that and getting stuff design stuff ready for that stuff and doing that with all that other things too.
Nice job.
Just trying to, do stuff.
But these are all good things that you enjoy doing.
Yeah. No, I'm very, very excited. Very pleased.
Why are you shifting in your chair?
I don't know. I don't like talking about my stuff.
Why?
I don't know.
Does it make it feel, what is it? You should embrace it.
I know. I like doing it. I don't like, it's like talking about it makes me, like, it just, I don't know what it is.
Because you feel like you've been talking about it all your life. Might as well just do it.
Well, I am yeah. currently doing yeah. it.
Does Great. It make you feel like, oh, I can't talk about that because I sound like a wiener when I talk about it? Or do you feel like it's bad luck to talk
like
about
no,
it?
I feel like a wiener. I feel
or
like,
do you feel like you don't deserve to talk about talk, do it or talk about it? What's the hang up?
I don't know. Maybe it's like a bit of like, you know, what if it all, like, what if I mention it and then it all crumbles, you know, or what if,
well, no there's one, the other part of it, of mentioning it and there's accountability.
No one's gonna fault you if you try and it doesn't, like, you tried a thing, like, that's, you know, like, you're trying, you're pursuing something that you care about. It is a spectacular idea.
Thanks.
And, you know, the process of it is really where the victory is. It doesn't matter if, you know, you don't sell every record you ever press.
I don't really expect to, you know.
Oh, he will.
I don't really expect, you know, like, it's not really a money-making thing. I just think it would be really neat to, like, you know, and plus also, like...
Then that's all you have to worry about. Yeah. That's the best reason to do anything.
Yeah, yeah. I was also, like, you know, with, like, younger comics I like, you know, I want to put out, like, 7 inches.
We're doing a vinyl pressing
inches.
Of
yeah.
My Ray or the Highway.
Yeah.
On 35 vinyl records.
They all, to make up the difference...
Oh, that'd be a double album, right?
Yeah. It's an hour.
It's an hour. How long is that? An hour 30, right?
A dodeca.
Yeah. So you need I think two records, right?
Yeah.
Double gatefold.
Sounds good to me.
But yeah, that's you know, working on that, working on those other things. Yeah, that stuff.
Well, I think it's cool, and I think it's okay to. Hey, man. Let your light shine.
Yeah, I just, you know, I just like, I think about.
You guys sick at
I think
me.
About the doing this stuff, and I also think about just like.
Matt, turn your light off.
Yeah. I think about just doing stuff, and then like, I just, you know, like just doing it instead of talking about it. I don't know what it is.
It's okay to do both as long as you do it. I don't think it matters whether or not you talk about it. I just think some people talk about it in lieu of doing it.
Yeah.
If you talk about it and you actually do it, then it's totally fine. But I get it. I get it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's, you know, I. Well, like a lot of my friends, like they don't think I do anything. It's just because I don't like talking about the stuff I'm working on. Like there was like that joke I did when I ran into you yesterday, where it's like I was like I had like you know like a pitch sheet out and I was like working on it, and then Chris saw me. I was like, and he's like, "Hey, man, what are you doing?" I was like, "Just fucking killing time, whatever."
He knocked all the papers onto the chair and then just pulled out his iPhone. He's like, "You know, just listen to fucking music, whatever."
Got to keep up this image, guys.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever.
It'd be funny if you walked into your house and you tore away your clothes and there was a business suit on your
face. Yeah, I take off all my fake stubble.
Yeah, yeah. Time is money!
You have to plug Deanna Bot back into the wall.
Yeah.
Gotta charge it up. Yeah.
Oh, I'm also I'm a regular voice and a few other voices on Trip Tank now on Comedy Central.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm like I'm in throughout the interstitials of Trip Tank, and then I'm also doing just random like character voices throughout the stuff. So I've been doing that too lately.
Nice work.
Thanks.
We're very proud of you.
Thank you.
We're just gonna stare at you until you just implode.
Yeah. Typical like comic stuff. It's like, give me attention when I want it.
Nah. Now's not the appropriate time. Yeah. I tell you when the attention's supposed to get here.
I don't want it now.
You don't tell me what's Nessa. I tell you what's Nessa. Professor Lil Oldman. Oh, fucking Mel Brooks got his handprints in the at the
Ramen's Chinese Theater
yesterday. I'm
what
so
is it? The
fucking
TCM
bummed I didn't know
theater?
About it because I was in the area and I could have gone and saw it. I'm very bummed I didn't. He put an extra finger on his left hand.
Oh, that's fucking
yeah, and
great.
It's fucking seamless. Like you can't, like it's like you just look at it, you can't. I'll show you the picture. It's so fucking cool. It's but it's. I almost wanted. I wanted to like. I want to go and take a picture of it myself, or just take a video. And go. How did he do such great stunts with such tiny hands?
Yeah. Is this on, that's great.
Yeah.
That's really great. Mel Brooks, September 8th, 2014. That is so spectacular.
Wow. Boy,
you really can't fuck that up when you're writing in concrete.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm sure if you mess up, they just go, all right, and they just kind of put it over.
Like there's a spackler on standby. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What someday about? We'll get our hands nowhere.
Yeah. We can do it.
You pushed away my phone with your pen. Like you were disgusted to touch my phone. Kyle. How do you know what I call about you? No.
He's He was, you know, trying to do you a favor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big old Kyle germs.
So what's your next recreational trip? Are you going to do anything or are you just going to stick around, do you think? What's a Chris Hardwick do?
I don't know. I don't know what my next recreational trip is.
Well, guys, I just found out. At Hollywood and Highland, there's now a Dave and Buster's.
Wow, really? It's about time.
Yeah.
So that's going to be my whole week?
I think that I don't have should all
Katie,
go.
Is that really like they haven't had one this entire time? Yeah, that was my response to.
Like they finally removed one of the umpteen thousandth giant Japanese restaurants and
oh, they
put
have
in a Dave and Buster's.
My next week off is mid-October, I think.
Me too. What are we doing?
But I have to go do a gig in Portland.
I'll drive.
I don't want to drive to Portland so far.
I'll fly.
But yeah, flying's a lot quicker. But then I don't know. It's in the middle of the week, and so I guess I could go somewhere, or I could just stay put. I don't know what to do with myself.
Do you remember how much fun we had in Vegas?
I do. It was really nice. It was.
I remember
so fun
how much fun both of you guys had in Vegas.
Watching you play the Back to the Future slot machine,
which I can't. I went last week to Vegas with Dory, and I couldn't find a Back to the Future slot machine.
For existence. Swish.
Thank you. Doc Brown slot machine commended.
Oh, you guys watching New Who?
No.
Oh, I'm behind a couple episodes because of Oddball. But I have it on the DVR at home.
What, like, I like the new guy. Wasn't into the first two episodes. The last episode, it's a Robin Hood,
mm-hmm.
Bringing back Costner style. It's a Robin Hood episode, and I really dug it. Legitimate laugh out louds.
Oh, good.
I'm hoping they get into the groove, and this is.
I have to watch the other half of the last Matt Smith season.
You don't have to. Like, you don't need it.
Trenzalore.
Yeah.
I feel like I should, though.
You should catch up.
Yeah.
Old Matty boy.
You should catch it up if you are so inclined.
Do you think any of our listeners audibly gasped when I said that I had not seen that yet?
Possibly.
Oh?
Possibly.
Guys, December season.
Possibly go wrong.
Possibly go wrong.
First thing that's ever gone wrong.
My DVR has 170 episodes of The Simpsons on it right now.
I just saw this TiVo server situation you can get for your house that will hold 26,000 hours of HD television.
Shit.
Oh.
Don't need it. Though I am frantically.
Don't need it, but do want it.
Frantically always deleting all the other shit that gets to.
I've been watching on KCET, which is the public broadcasting station out
very
here, America's Test Kitchen by the Cooks Illustrated people. It's like the best cooking show I've ever seen in my life.
Have you seen that new place? I think it's somewhere in the valley, but it's called the Blackboard or something like that. It's on
Vineland.
Oh, like,
I know Blackboard. Yeah, yeah,
and what
yeah,
is,
yeah.
Do you know what that is?
It's like it's a gastropub with some sweet, sweet drinks.
Oh, so yeah. It's not like a experimental kitchen situation?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No.
So what's Test Kitchen?
It's you know Cooks Illustrated, which has been around for
years and years.
By the way, gastropub sounds like the name for a nickname for like the Gamorrean guards.
Like Gamorrean guards.
Swish.
You can't swish yourself.
What?
Swishing all over
that's
the place.
It's not called for.
Swish. Yeah, yeah.
That was the sound of your dick going for a vagina and it having moved after you said Gamorrean card. Oh, where'd she go? Don't hit the cave bear statue.
You probably thought I said gonorrhea. No, Gamorrean.
Gamorrean.
So, no, I knew what you said.
Where are you going?
How
come there's a girl-shaped hole in the door?
Yeah.
Where she escaped.
She went through the keyhole if she's your type.
Oh, what does that mean?
She's real skinny. Oh. You know, just slides right through.
Those are the jokes we're supposed to be making to each other in like 30 years. You go through a keyhole if she's your type. Am I right?
Yeah, this guy over here.
Anyway, another
yes,
funeral.
I'm an old. Yep, Kyle, huh? Said I'd never come to Simi Valley again. I was wrong.
I don't like them unless they're tripping over their titties. So Test Kitchen.
Yeah, America's Test Kitchen. It's a great show. They shoot it in Brookline, Massachusetts. over at they have a W, you know, WGBH.
I always feel like that's a that's an arrogant person saying Brooklyn, but Brookline.
No, Brookline. Yeah. It's spelled L-I-N-E.
Yeah.
The other thing I found out, Dory used to, she got a summer job once at WGBH. And if you watch Netflix and you have captioning on, a lot of times you'll see at the end that captioning provided by WGBH Boston. Because they have a service there, a public service, where they do the closed captioning. So she, one summer, had to do the closed captioning for Dragnet.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
So she's like, how do you spell these weird 60s words? Like the hippie kids are saying.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
So Test Kitchen.
Yeah. Watch it. That's all I'm saying is watch it.
Why is it good?
Because I don't, it just, there's something so very comforting about the structure of this program. It's about the cooking and not about Giada's titties. Am I right? This is Titty Fucker 83.
Nope.
No, but it's great. I learned how to make the perfect peanut butter cookies yesterday. Also learned how to make home fries. Also learned how to make steel cut oats in 10 minutes.
Wow.
And they go through crazy testing. So you know that like when they're showing you a way to do something, it's the absolute best way to do something.
That's cool.
All right. Test Kitchen. And where
America's Test Kitchen. It's on Public Access.
Public Access?
Not Public Access. Public Television.
Public Television. PBS.
Yeah. Slightly different.
Yeah. Very different. Production value, not that dissimilar. But yeah, watch it. Cooks Illustrated. Give me a subscription.
C-O-O-K-S. Cooks Illustrated.
I'd love to see Downton Abbey on Public Access, like that version of Downton Abbey on Public Access.
Geez, yeah.
Guys, just tune in, set your DVRs. America's Test Kitchen. It's on
and
PBS.
If you have a special TiVo, you have 26,000 hours of HD I love it. Test Kitchen.
I love it. Yeah.
Also, watch that God Save the Girl. You know, it was a crowdfunded movie.
Watch that movie with the singing and the Sebastianing.
Yeah, yeah. It was a Bell and Sebastian guy, and it was crowdfunded. And it was, I think it was well done. Nice, cheap movie.
It's like the Veronica Mars of our youth.
A lady friend of mine and I watched Flight of the Navigator the other night.
Nice.
Which does not hold up.
Did you see were you showing her movies
from
the
year
she was
born?
Did you
get
her home to your mom? Okay, well, we both were each other. Well, do you want to do yours first?
Yeah. It's like, Jonas is a little more
Jonas
palatable.
Is better.
Yeah.
Jonas is better. Okay.
No, actually, yours was edgier. Jonas was...
because I'm your friend, Chris.
But Flight of the Navigator is a
in my mind. First of all,
I didn't even.
Here's
yours.
My joke. In my mind, okay, yeah. I was saying that Chris would have to get her back home to her mother because in my mind they were both in like the '80s. You're acting.
Oh, we were both in. You weren't saying that I was dating an underage girl.
Oh,
correct.
Like okay. She like fell down a hill and correct. Then she came back. So she's technically the same age as Chris.
Yeah,
but Chris
yeah.
is just.
No, yes. You just incorporated Flight of the Navigator plot into the bit. Which, by the way, the plot for Flight of the Navigator is fucking. Awesome.
Is it really?
Yes, because that's what the plot is that he falls down the hill and he wakes up and it's 8 years later.
Yeah.
And they're trying to solve this mystery about, well, where did the 8 years go? He hasn't changed and the rest of the world has changed around him. So yeah. That the basic premise of that's really cool. And then, you know, then they get into, and then it's the Navigator ship, and the effects are fine for sure. 87 or 88, whenever it was.
Reflections.
But Paul Rubens is the voice of the
that's right.
of Max, the, you know, the ship, basically, yeah. the computer in the ship. And it's obvious, like, it was right around, like, it was near the height of Pee-wee fame. And so he wasn't, they pitched his voice down. But he was still doing a lot of ha 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 ha.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's right.
And so it's sort of a weird. It's like an almost Pee Wee.
Yeah.
Well, that's like the kind of thing. That's like when he was the voice of the navigator on Star Tours.
Oh, in Star Tours. Yeah, yeah.
Same kind of thing.
It's my first time too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So wait, what was? So your joke was get it home.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta get. You have to get her home to her okay. mom before.
Yeah. Yeah. We're
which
both
is why I said your. But your joke was stronger.
And okay, then your follow up bit. Was
even better.
Yeah. Was
I mean,
superb.
You just cool. built upon greatness, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
Joke of the Navigator. It was perfect. But the movie does not. It's like overall as a movie, it's not. It's could have been
that ship for the longest time. The ship. I mean, it actually might still be there on it was on the backlot tour of Disney Studios in Florida.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, you would go by. The Flight of the Navigator ship was there, as well as the exterior Golden Girls house is still sitting over there. Yeah.
Oh my God!
The Great Outdoors House is on the
it was on the Universal tour. Yeah, 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 yeah. Guys, what I'm saying is we should go to Orlando. just to go to Disneyland.
Well, we don't.
They're
soon,
making
it's
Harry Potter land in the middle of.
Well, we got that. We got that, and then you got Universal the horror mazes.
Can't wait to go back.
Yeah.
Look forward to it. I texted Dana Gould. I was like, hey, when's your horror maze, you know, haunted house schedule starting up? He's like, no joke, in 2 weeks.
Well, it's the 19th, I think, is when it all opens because I'm hosting the Igor Awards there.
What is that?
It's
it's like the Igor Awards.
It's like Psychic Awards. Are we nominated for the Psychic Awards?
The Psychic Awards?
Sidekick,
because it's Igor.
Yeah, no, I get it. No.
Bullshit!
Yeah, thank you.
And the nominees from the Nerdist Podcast Sidekick are...
Kyle Clark.
Jason Schwartzman.
This is like people who are really good guests, but more famous. No,
yeah.
If honestly,
anytime anyone said they should
Jason,
be...
I would be mad. If we lost to Jason Schwartzman.
So that's starting up pretty soon. The horror mazes are starting up soon.
Yeah,
I'm feeling it. Already,
I can't believe it's already fall.
It's great. You know, pumpkin spice is back.
Pumpkin spice is back. There's pumpkin spice Oreos now.
It is my favorite. Dunkin' Donuts in Santa Monica. I went by it. It's been open for a week, and I went by it on Sunday at 4 p.m. and it still had a line down the block.
It's my favorite time of the year coming up.
I love it too. It's great.
I don't like this time of the year.
I like this time of the year elsewhere. The time of year I like here the most is between January and March.
Right here. Yeah.
That's when
before it gets
like,
too hot.
That's when it feels like Florida.
I
mean,
love the
fall. Not
yeah.
Florida.
I'm so excited for it, but also it's
I just don't like that getting fucking dark at 4 in the afternoon.
Well, that won't start happening until November, I don't think.
No, it's going to start kicking in. Like what's going to happen is we're going to start getting out of the taping.
It's
at midnight.
It'll
be dark. Yeah.
And you're like, day's over. Might as well go to bed.
That's kind of what I do now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good times.
Cool.
We're done.
Everyone, check out Tombstone.
Pizza.
Pierre.
Enjoy your burrito.
Show me that smile again.
Give me that smile.
Don't waste another
minute on a crying.
We're nowhere near the
end.
The past is heading to
begin.
Right now. And now we got each other. We got the world in hand. And I am everywhere we stand. We got each other, sharing the laughter and love.
Guys, I'm so glad no one recorded our normal podcast.
Yeah, it gets better every time. Almost 600 times we've done it.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com. Use the offer code Nerdist.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.